Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Another place to stay for private equity.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Private equity is getting its hands on just about every single industry. The latest acquisition, Hilton Hotels. Blackstone Group has agreed to buy Hilton for $20 billion plus some debt. Berkeley Law Professor Eric Talley says hotels are hot right now.
This is a big deal in what has been sort of a series of hotel acquisitions over the last few months, but the other ones are sort of little potatoes compared to this one. One of Blackstone's big competitors, KKR, is about to go public itself. It has shown interest in this market as well, and it wouldn't be surprising if it continued to play in the hotel acquisition game.
Hilton's stock shot up 6% on the Blackstone news. As you just heard, the private equity firm Kohlberg Kravis Roberts is going public. KKR is following Blackstone's lead. Blackstone just made $4 billion with its IPO. KKR is expected to raise $1.25 billion. It was a short day on Wall Street, but a profitable one. The Dow gained 41 points to 13,577. The Nasdaq climbed 12 to 2644. The S&P 500 added 5 to 1524. Asian stocks gained about 0.5% today. The European markets are up a tad in the early going. Today is the 40th anniversary of the Freedom of Information Act. FOIA requires the government to release unclassified documents to people who ask for them. A new study says it's taking a long time for some people to get what they want. John Dimsdale reports.
Some government agencies have pending requests that are 20 years old, according to the nonprofit National Security Archive. Director Tom Blanton filed dozens of FOIA requests early this year, asking government agencies for their oldest outstanding requests. And in many cases, the answer was, we don't know.
None of these agencies seem to have one of those basic things we take for granted when we send a FedEx package or a UPS ground box, which is a tracking number, so you can check, where's your box?
Blanton says veterans and senior citizens are the most frequent filers of FOIA requests to find out about benefits and service records. Companies are the next biggest group.
American business uses the Freedom of Information Act to find out about, one, regulations, and second, contracts. Where is the government going to let a contract that I can bid on?
Congressional legislation to speed up the government's response to Freedom of Information requests is stalled in the Senate, where some lawmakers are raising national security objections. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
I don't know that tequila is a 4th of July tradition, but I'm sure a few shots will be down today. Tequila became very popular in the late 90s. That drove up the price of agave, the plant used to make it. Dan Gretsch has more from our America's desk at WLRN.
The soaring demand for tequila led agave prices to hit the roof, up to $70 per plant. Mexican farmers rushed to cash in. They planted 4 times the amount of agave the industry typically requires. Now, 7 years later, the agave is ready to harvest, but prices have plummeted to $4 a plant. Purdue University agricultural economist William Masters says this boom-bust cycle has a name, the hog cycle.
Farmers would notice high prices for hogs, they would raise a lot of them, and by the time they brought them to market, prices would be really low, so then there would be a period of low investment, prices would climb again, and the tragedy would repeat itself.
It appears set to repeat itself in Mexico as well. With so many agave farmers going bankrupt, tequila producers now say that in a few years, there could be another agave shortage. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Mended Hearts to provide online and hospital support to newly diagnosed heart disease patients. You can learn more at MendedHearts.org.
We don't want to get too drunk this morning, but today is also a big day for the beer industry. A lot of people rent kegs for their 4th of July parties. The beer companies just hope they get the kegs back. Some people have been keeping them or stealing them so they can sell the kegs to scrap metal places. price of metal has made this worth their while. Joining us now is Jeff Becker. He's the president of the Beer Institute, an industry trade group. Jeff, how big a problem is this?
Well, right now we estimate we're losing around 300,000 kegs a year, and since kegs cost around $130 on average to buy, it's obviously a very significant problem that reaches into the $40, $50 million range.
Wow, that is a lot of money. How are people getting a hold of these kegs?
Well, you know, there's probably a very innocent side of this, college kids who forget to take them back, or, you know, the more serious problem, and that is people who are stealing them from either behind retail establishments or from wholesale outlets and then taking them to scrap dealers and then getting the scrap value.
But I would think it's not that easy to steal a keg. I mean, even when they're empty, they're still pretty heavy.
I don't disagree. This is something we've seen evolve over the last 2 years, and you can imagine once we aggregated everything and found out the extent of the problem, obviously somebody out there is doing this wrong quite a bit.
So how do you propose solving this?
Well, there's actually a few things we can do. You know, one, many states are implementing legislation because of what's a broader problem, people stealing bleachers from Little League parks or slides from other parks and things
right.
like that. And so there's broader legislation that's addressing the scrap industry that basically says, you know, you need to know who owns this stuff before you take it. One of the other things that's unique to us are keg deposit laws. That's a disincentive for the final user or the thief, if you will.
As I was reading about this, I was surprised to find out that July 4th is the biggest beer drinking day of the year, ahead of St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Weather's always had an influence on beer consumption. People tend to drink more beer when it's warm than when it's cold. And so July 4th, I think for the last, you know, 10, 15 years, it's been the leading holiday. And it's interesting because when it happens on a Wednesday, you know, it's probably not the best day of the year it could happen for us.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be plenty of beer drinking today anyway.
We're sure as well, and just hope that people remember to choose a designated driver or drink responsibly.
All right, Jeff Becker, president of the Beer Institute. Thanks for joining us, and happy 4th.
Thanks. Same to you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Enjoy your holiday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.